The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Thank you. Good morning, First Baptist. I like that idea that I don't have to wait till the battle's over. I can shout now. Someone else sang a song, said, "You can have your mansion now." It won't be long this morning. This is a Communion Sunday, so we're going to make sure that we try to keep things within the confines of time. Amen. We're going to be disciplined. We thank God for just another opportunity, number one, that we can all assemble here. Things being as well as they are, we just appreciate the fact that God has looked over us and watched over us one more time. Everybody seems to be doing well, looking well. Everything probably didn't turn out exactly how we wanted it, but believe me, it turned out the way God wanted it. Amen. Yes, it turned out the way God wanted it to turn out. So blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank God for our preparation. We ask that he would give a pastor traveling grace as he goes to his son's function today, that everything would be well, considering all the catastrophic things that have been happening in our community. We know that God's mercy and his grace endureth forever. I have a brief message prepared for you. In the name of the Lord and given under the unction of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be coming from the book of Acts. If you would turn, if you have your Bibles, or if you have it in your mind, on your phone, on your tablet, I just ask that you would just open up the Word and look into it right now. And those of you who did not bring, sometimes there's a Bible behind the pew or in the pew. You can grab and use that when it won't be too far off. As far as the wording, I'm going to be using a New King James version of the Bible, amen? Acts 11, verse 12 through 18, and it reads thus wise. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brothers accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter." How many of y'all know that Peter got a name change? "Who will tell you words which you and all your household will be saved." And as I began to speak, Peter said, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I, that I could withstand God. You may be seated in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Those are some powerful words, if you just let them sink into your spirit. My focal verse is going to be at verse 14, in which it says, "Who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved?" Who will tell you who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved? Who will tell you words? Who's going to say anything to you about it? Who's going to say it? The Bible thesis, the theological proper thesis of this text is saving grace. The saving grace is in there. But I'm going to use for the subject the kind word which turns away wrath. And as I get in deep into the message, you'll understand where I'm coming from. I have three salient points, and I'll be soon done. The word comes by mouth of God to the ears of men. Point number two, faith comes by hearing, and fear comes by seeing. Point number three, salvation comes by the grace of God. Shall we pray? Lord, today I just pray that somebody will hear your word. Father, that they will get a change of heart, a change of mind. Father, they will just not sit on their hands anymore, but they will come to you saying, I yield, I yield. Father, we are here in the saving business. And, Lord, we just want to make sure that every soul has the opportunity to hear your word, Lord, by which they can be changed, by which they might become a new creature in you. Father, that is our mission on today. We just want to get the word to somebody, some dying soul, some hurting parent, Lord, some son or daughter, Lord, that don't know which way to turn. Father, we just want them to hear the word. We know that everything that we need is in the word. I heard a deacon say earlier that the Bible, the word, the book, the word that you gave us, the incarnate word, is better than the bullets. It's better than the arrows in the warrior's quiver, Lord. And it never runs out. This is ammunition forever. It is eternal ammunition made good by the Holy God, who is infallible. We pray to you, dear Lord, the amazing God who gives us saving grace. We ask this by the mighty name of Jesus the Christ. He is the light of the world. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Please, sir. This is a beautiful story. I just wanted to, just for a little while, look into the story that happened here in Acts. If you all remember the story, if you've read it, it pretty much begins in the 10th chapter. But just preceding that, Peter goes on a small missionary journey. And during this missionary journey, Peter heals. He raised people from the dead. He heals a sick man that had been on bedridden for 8 years. He raised Dorcas from the dead. And then as we were building up to this, as we look at in the book of Acts, is I think in the King James said the Acts of the Apostles, but the more we look in the book of Acts, we realize that it is the act of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You will see the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Acts working in each person's lives and changing things. This central message today is that there is no longer anyone common. I want to get that point across. There's no one common anymore. Because remember, he told Peter to rise, slay, and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything uncommon. And he said, look, God answered him and said, what I have cleansed, you must no longer call common. Amen. Through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, we're good. We don't have to look down our nose at people anymore. I know sometimes we feel like we're blessed because we're in a church. We've been coming for so long. Look, I was baptized, I think, at age 8 in the Catholic Church. They sprinkled holy water on me. And I went to school was church every day. We started school by going to church. And today, I went to a Catholic Mass last week, and I still remembered every part of the Mass. I've done it day in and day out. And it was driven into us. And academics was driven into us. So, you know, we're all of us are prepared for the gospel to give the kind words to people who will turn away wrath. God spoke them first. Amen. Anybody with me today? I just want to impart just for a little while some of what it is that God wants to tell us today. He's telling us today because God don't try to do anything. God does it. Amen. Let me just point to one thing. In the beginning, the word spoke, and all things, both good and evil, came into existence. And since Genesis, mankind has been at the crown of God's creation. He charged man to be fruitful and to multiply. We grew mightily, and not only in population, but also in thought. As a matter of fact, It took a very long time, some almost 900 years, for God to just get tired of the way that we were thinking. He said in Genesis to Noah, he said, I'm sick and tired of man. It's like every thought that he had is continuously evil. And they given into marriage, and they don't even ask me if the wife is okay. She don't even ask me if the husband is good. Everybody just marrying everybody and growing a population of heathens. Amen. So men were giants in those days. They were both physically giants and they were mental giants. But their thoughts were evil. Y'all with me today? So every word that they spoke was evil. And so God flooded the earth. You know the story in Genesis at the 10th generation. First it was Adam and Eve, then Cain and Abel. And by the 10th generation of mankind, God became sick of our increasing evil and decided to flood the earth. But at the same time, we were seeing saving grace move on the scene. For God had found grace and favor in Noah. This is the first time that we see the word favor used in the Bible, when he said he looked down and found favor in Noah. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm glad that the rain stopped outside. We have seen a radical depopulation of mankind and had a regeneration of the spirit of man. Noah is being obedient to God, and he saved 8 souls and a whole bunch of animals that were both clean and unclean. Are y'all Bible readers today? They were both clean and unclean. This is before the Mosaic law of sanctity and cleanliness, even though Moses did write Genesis, amen? But he told them, go ahead and load the clean animals and the unclean animals. Y'all gotta watch the text. Yeah, he had a purpose. Salvation was working even in Genesis. Amen. He said, these are the kind words which will turn away wrath that he spoke to Noah. He said, but I found favor and grace in you. God has found favor and grace in you all, believe it or not. Because he allowed our golden moments to roll on just a little while longer. The word comes by mouth to God, to the ears of men. This is my first point. Theology proper calls this revelation. Who will tell you the words by which your household will be saved? In this one thing, we do look at the repopulation, but it is a whole nother thing to talk about regeneration. The regeneration of mankind, the regeneration of the spirit. That spirit, y'all know, that the recreation of man, a new man. Amen. Everybody can populate, but who can regenerate? You know what? We can. We have the words of eternal life in our mouth if we just speak them. You all are experienced in the gospel. I know that you are. I know most of you. I see you out there looking back at me, and I know that you have heard the word. But do you speak words to the people out there who don't know him, who live and dwell in darkness? Do you say kind words to them every now and then? I'm asking you, do you? Yes, sir. Do you remember to speak kind words of grace in their ear? Amen. One commentary said that the Genesis is a book of beginnings. It is first time introduction for all things, both good and evil. Have you ever thought about that? And Genesis is a first time for everything. Watch this. And I've noted a few things for your hearing. In Genesis, we find the first communion between God and man, the first knowledge of the Trinity, the first lie, the first death, the first murder, the first marriage, the first twins, the first fall, the first separation, the first offering, the first acknowledgement of grace and salvation. Somebody ought to say amen. I continue to read. The first flood, the first altar, the first rainbow, the first drought, the first rain, the first idol worship, the first tithe. I can go on. The first love, the first hate, the first journey, the first walk of faith, which brings me to my second point. Faith comes by hearing, and fear comes by seeing. Noah, Moses, not you, Moses, and Abraham heard the word of God and believed it. Amen? Are y'all Bible readers? The children of Noah seen the flood, and they feared God. The children of Israel saw the sea split and close again.
And they beheld the salvation of God and feared him for a little while until their bellies got empty. And then they start to whine again. Y'all Bible readers. So let me just ask you again, who will tell you the words by which you and all your household will be saved? Is that person you? Are you going to fill in for Peter? Peter was the one in the text, but you could fill in for Peter. Because I think even Peter told us that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's us. It is our duty. Did you know that it's our duty to spread the gospel? It's our duty to do that. You always wait for the Holy Spirit to speak? No, he gave the word to us. He imparted to us. He trusted us with his word. God trusts us. But nevertheless, we just let opportunities pass by time and time again. And I'm speaking to you all today. If it's somebody who have not thus assembled and came into the membership of the local church, you need to do it as soon as possible. You don't need to wait no longer. In the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, we find these kind words. It says, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved? Church, the whole world pauses for us. The world holds its breath, waiting to exhale. The world waits to hear the gospel come out of our mouth. That if we, you and I, and mankind, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:8. Peter is telling us that the household of Cornelius is ready to be saved. All they needed was to hear a word. That's all people need is to hear a word. I just need to hear a word this morning. Somebody give me a word. Oh, my God. I mean, I thirsted after the word. It was a dry time in my life. It's like nothing was going where I felt. I said, I need a word, oh, Lord. And at time and time, I dive deep and I listen closely to the preaching of Pastor King. And he said, oh, you know what? I'm praying for you, Byron. You know, what it is that you want. Ask the Lord. I'm praying for you. It seemed like just this few months later, things started to turn around. He started to turn around because he had the word in him. Amen. And it can work. It's effectual when righteous men and women impart the word. I said it's effectual. It works. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I've seen a lot of y'all come a mighty long way. Oh, yes, I have. Just recently, people in and out of the hospital. Things are not as bad as they think you are. The return of Brother Jackie after all of his all the things that he was going through with his body, he's back here in the fold. Amen. I don't take that for granted. God is good. Romans 10:14. He says, how then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? Listen now. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Y'all preachers too, you know that? Oh, y'all proclaimers. Y'all can proclaim the word. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Are we missionaries or what? Have we been sent? In the opening text, let me pause there for a minute. Said an angel appeared. You know, angels, they got one job. All they do is what God tells them to do. One job. They stay so far in their lane. They go and they give somebody the word and they return back to God. Except for one, the father of all lies. For some reason, he just couldn't do it. But let me ask you that the question that becomes how? In verse 13, Peter says that the Spirit told him how he had to be sent by an angel, how we need to do and how we need to progress in life. It's a how in each part of our life. How do we do it? That's what you asked today. How, Byron, how, Reverend Keelan, how do I do this? And it's real easy. You study, you get in your word, you pray, you ask the Lord to give you a word, give you the kind words to say. I'm telling you, we can diffuse violence with the kind words. I remember one time my younger son is over there with me. We were driving, they were with me. I think we was coming from soccer practice. And I beheld a fight. It was an all-out brawl in a gas station. And I drove right up in the middle of the brawl and got out of my truck. And I told everybody, I said, stop. I said, you stop. One guy had a baseball bat chasing me. I said, stop. And what was a riot, it came to a total calm. Because I stood right there in the middle of them. My children was in the truck just looking out. And I remember I had a bottle of water, a 5-gallon bottle of water. One guy tried to grab that and hit the other guy. And I just said, stop. And by the time that the policeman came, North College Hill policeman pulled up here. And my son's looking at me like, what did you just do? I was like, the Holy Spirit just hit me and said, just go ahead and stop the riot. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody do that, but when you're following the unction of the Holy Spirit, he tell you to do something, go do it. It was an all-out brawl. It was a black and white brawl. Somebody said something to his girl or whatever it is, you know, and I said, stop. I said, look at these little children. Look at y'all heathens. What's going on? Miraculous, they stopped and looked at me and put down their weapons. And I went on about my business. But I'm telling you that when you fall in the unction of the Holy Spirit, you do what he tells you to do. Because you can do mighty things. It's the book of Acts. It's all about the acts of the apostles and the acts of the Holy Spirit. Peter raised people from the dead. Paul raised people from the dead. They've done the same thing that Jesus done. He said, mightier works shall you do. Is the Bible true or not? Do y'all believe that it's true this morning? Y'all looking at me, you know, in amazement, but I'm telling you that if you get into the Word and dive into the Word and get closer to God, you can do mighty things. Amen. Help poor folks. All we need to do is to look back to the story with Peter telling to the apostles. No, this is the story was Peter was telling the apostles back in Jerusalem because they always had a secondary rally point. They always came back to Jerusalem after they'd done their missionary journeys. Anybody with me today? And so they said, Peter, what's up, man? We heard that you went to a common man's house. And that's when he told them a story of what happened. At the same time that God was talking to Peter, he was also talking to Cornelius. He said he was a devout man, a man who prayed daily and lift alms daily. He was a soldier, centurion, in charge of a Roman army. But he was a God-fearer. So God didn't forget about him because he wasn't born a Jew. He went on a man's faith. And the man said, all we want to do is just hear a word. So Peter said before, did y'all see the text? He said, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon the man and all his house. Oh, that blows my mind. Wow. That's an incredible story. Go back and read it when you get time. How God came into the life of common people. They wanted the word. They didn't want to live without the word. They didn't want to go to hell. Remember when Jesus said, Simon Bar-Jonah, your name is no longer that. We're not going to call you that. Your name is Peter. He said, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He said, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter had the key to the church. When Peter came and preached, the doors of the church opened, didn't it? And his whole house. Now think of the influence that a Roman captain had upon everybody else. That's what happens. Remember the guard that was chained to Paul while he was on the missionary, on his last journey going to his trial in Rome? Paul just kept on preaching to it. So I'm worried about these chains. He said, you're the one that's really locked up. You're going to be in chains forever for all eternity. My chains are just for a little while. I'm supposing what Paul said to him, you know, having read some of his messages. But that was a sweet thing. There's people who are their mindset, they are locked in their mind, and they are so routine about being wrong that they're duty-bound to go to hell until we intervene, until we jump right in the middle and say, oh, no, we got to do it, church. We got to stop sitting around. Really, the message today is I'm talking about saving grace. Well, look at what Jesus done. He went to the cross. Who would want to do that for us so that we might be saved? He done that for us. So what little bit can we do? Can we just talk about it to somebody, sit down? Every now and then, come on. Back to the verse. He says that in the verse 13, Peter said that the Spirit told him how he had sent an angel All we need to do is to look at the story that Peter is telling to the apostles, how God cleansed all mankind and how we can no longer call anyone, even the one sitting next to us, common. We call the neighbors up the street common. We call them words like hood rats and baby kids, them ninjas, lowlifes, Billy Hills, etc. That's what we say to them. But what we should be calling them is to the higher calling of Jesus Christ. But we do otherwise, day in and day out. We be critical. Watch it. Because, and I believe this, a lot of people that you think is going to be in heaven going to be in hell, and vice versa. You're putting people in hell now, and you might be the one in there. In the text, Peter says, we entered the man's house. That grabbed a hold of me. We entered the man's house. He gained access into the man's house. The Holy Spirit opened the door, not only the doors to the physical house, but opened the doors to their heart and to their mind. Now, many of us are so-called Christians. We think we're too good to go into the dope boy's house. Nobody said you had to stay all day. Okay? But you need to tell them the words. You give them the kind words that will turn away wrath. Yeah, most of them are angry and mean. I talk to them. I know them. They're angry and mean about stuff that they don't even know what they're mad about. Ready to do violence. Tell them this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. You go in there, you talk to them, okay? Or whether you're in the restaurant or wherever you're at. You might be at Kroger's. Do dope boys go to Kroger's? Wherever you might be. They say, well, who are you? Because they will say that. No, who are you, Reverend? Who are you? They see me toting my Bible. Yeah, I'm a Bible toter. But you in there. You know what I'm saying? You in here, too. I tell them, I say, you in here. We got whoremongers, harlots, backbiters, liars, all everybody in here. Huh? Everybody in here. But tell them this. Same thing as Isaiah said long last week. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. They look at you crazy. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, Byron, to heal the brokenhearted. Somebody's daddy went to jail last week. Their little kids are roaming around. Their daddy, no matter what he done, that's their daddy, and they hurting. They need to hear the word. They need to hear about some salvation. This is not the end. Oh, it's just the beginning with God. Amen. Ooh, goodness. See, why else am I standing here in your living room? I am here to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Y'all know anybody oppressed this morning? Ghetto baby and ghetto mama are oppressed. Y'all know that? The ones y'all talking about, they're oppressed. They are your mission. Let them know about today. Tell them today is a day of salvation. You can't wait no longer. It's a time of salvation. The word, I've spoken the word in your heart. It's time for us to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? Isn't that what Isaiah and Jesus said? The book was just open. And Jesus ran up, the scroll was open, and it was talking exactly about him. They say, hey, boy, go up there and read the scroll. And it was talking about him. Only God can do that, really. And I found it impressive and amazing that things can be happen simultaneously with God. While somebody's on their knees and praying, that things can happen simultaneously with God, and he can purpose it to happen that way. I was talking to my friend. He said that my childhood friend, he had his pancreas was erupting as he was coming home from work. And when I called him, I talked to him at length about it. And he said the doctors, he said, if I could just get home. He got home. He called someone. They said, leave the door open. One of his friends called a paramedic. The paramedics came. They took him to the hospital. And he said that his stomach was just swelling. He could just watch it swelling. And the doctors tell him, well, there's nothing we can really do. So he called his sister, who was a prayer warrior. And she called the rest of her prayer warriors. And they prayed and anointed him. And he said, I could pinpoint the hour. That's what got me. He said, I can pinpoint it. My nickname is Bibby. He said, Bib, I can pinpoint the hour when I started to feel better. He said, they were praying over me. He said they were praying over me now 9:15. He said, about 9:30, all of a sudden I started to feel better. And the doctors was telling me, nothing we could do. Other than going in and do surgery, but what is that going to do? He said, I could pinpoint the hour. And here in the book of Acts, it pinpoints the hour. It says at the sixth hour when it started to happen. And then at the ninth hour, it hit Peter. From the sixth to the ninth hour, it took them, I calculated the math. It took them to get from Caesarea to Joppa, where Peter was. It took them about 3 hours. So just about the time Peter got done, they were knocking on his door. When the angel sent Cornelius' men to Peter in Joppa, they said, go to Joppa. That's where Peter is. Go to Joppa. Y'all seen the text. And by the time, just at the right time when they came, I don't know if they went by horseback, whether it was on chariot or whatever, but as soon as Peter rose up, they were knocking on his door. God had the horses move just right at the right increment of time to arrive perfectly at his household. God can do some things, can't he? Perfectly. He said, I can pinpoint the hour. Can you pinpoint the hour of your salvation? Can you pinpoint it? When a God spoke to you, he spoke peace to your dying soul. Can you pinpoint the hour? You know it's there. It's in there somewhere because it comes back up every now and then. You ever just get happy for no reason at all? Tears just start flowing down. And you just thank God for saving you. A wretch like me. I was on my way to hell. And God saved me. Thank you. So we have to tell the story, the kind words, those words that come to people. And believe me, don't be afraid to impart the word of God. Don't think that you don't know enough or whatever it is. Read, study, pray over. You can find one text, one verse in the Bible. Read, pray, study on it. And I'm telling you, watch the Lord unfold things. Somebody will come to you and quote exactly the one that you're looking at. I've had all those type of things happen to me. I tell people over and over again, so the Lord I don't even read the Sunday school lesson. He gives me a Sunday school while I'm sleeping. He gives me a Sunday school lesson. I'm like, oh boy. You know, it's just amazing. He's talking to me all the time, telling me, you know, this is the order of business, how things ought to be. And people ought to stop being scared. We know y'all talking about being warriors. We can't be afraid to spread the gospel. That's the word this morning. It's 12:20, and I'm just about done. So on this day, on this 26th of March, I missed a day, Alan. On the 26th day of March, we, the church, the regenerated of God, we must be the ones who tell the words of how the whole household will be saved. And this brings me to my third and final point. Salvation comes from God. We have stated simply to everyone, we know that the victory has come not in strength of army, nor is it in the snort of the war horse pawing in the valley. We, the church, we have been saved by grace. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Y'all know that song? I love it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Doors of the church are open. Surely, surely, I said surely, he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Doors of the church are open. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my buckler. Listen to me. Say it with me. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor shall I be afraid of the arrows that fly by day, nor shall the pestilence that walk in the darkness. Say it with me. Say it like you mean it now. Nor shall I be afraid of the darkness, or the destruction that lay await at the noonday. For 1,000 shall fall by my side, and 10,000 by my right side. And my eyes shall look and see the reward of the wicked. If you believe what you just said, come join the church. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.